Good morning. Please join us for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll begin with communications. They don't seem to be very long.
Approve minutes from the last meeting, travel and training, transfers and appropriations, personnel, across-the-board adjustment for non-collective bargaining unit county employees, hire a temporary intern for Butler County Regional Airport, grant leave of absence for election services clerk for Butler County Board of Election, under Job and Family Services, approve contract with Malachi, under Environmental Services, release one-year maintenance bond for water and sewer lines extension to Monroe Crossing, under Engineer Uniform Rental Program for award and execute contract, under Miscellaneous execute contract for remodeling, court remodeling project with Progressive Plumbing, approve stormwater management for 19.144 acres in Liberty Township, approve lease and easement agreement for the Lakota Board of Education, under care facility, five personnel actions, and that would be it.
Move for approval.
Second.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
And Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Thank you.
Good morning. I think that we have a presentation.
Steve Bartels.
It is, Steve. Good morning, gentlemen.
Steve, you know that we're on the internet, so, and I know I think what you have to say, the press is going to want, you may have to repeat this when
They show up.
That'll be fine. Actually, we're having a press event. Now, I'm not sure how many of them will be out there, but 11:30 to 1:30 today. So hopefully they will all get that information also. We entered a quarantine as of last Friday for Butler County for wood products because the Ohio Department of Agriculture confirmed last Friday afternoon that Butler County has been the 28th county in the state of Ohio where emerald ash borer has been confirmed. And this is an insect that kills ash trees. Ash trees alone are the ones that are affected, but all wood products that have the bark attached that aren't from an evergreen species are quarantined into Butler County, and now because Warren County is also quarantined in Montgomery County, it can go between those counties. But a county like Preble County that's not quarantined, it can't go to Preble County. So that's going to be kind of confusing for people, I think.
When you say they can't go to Preble County, what are you?
Well, I'm saying that a person who cuts firewood in Butler County or Montgomery County and wants to sell it to a person in Preble County, that is not allowed by law. What they're trying to do is to stop the spread of this insect. And it entered the state from that state up north. You know, there's usually not too much good things that come in from that state up north. Was in Canada first, came from Asia, and then got into Canada and then to Michigan. And entered through Toledo about 5 years ago. And it's been estimated that in Indiana, Ohio and Michigan, it has already killed 22 million trees. And so we are concerned. It's almost, unless we get some research, unless we find some way to control it or stop it, it's going to be like the elm tree where basically every ash tree in the state of Ohio and maybe in the nation will eventually die with this thing. So,
does the quarantine help? It just slows it down?
It slows it down.
Exactly. But it doesn't?
It doesn't stop it. No, I mean, it doesn't.
Is the only way to be transported is by firewood, or do they fly?
They fly some, but they're poor flyers, so they're not going to move very long distance. You know, so it'll take a long time to go. It was discovered in Monroe, 135 Vista Court in Monroe. And what we think has happened is that all the discoveries have been close to the interstate. You know, this site was within 1 mile of 75. In Warren County, it was in Franklin, very close to the interstate. And so what we think is happening is that the adult gets onto a semi or something like that. They stop at a roadside rest. The insect gets off, infest a tree, or the firewood going up and down the interstate. And the federal government has put a quarantine on Ohio and Indiana. And so it's illegal also, even for people from Preble County, to transport firewood from Preble County into Indiana. There's a federal quarantine across state lines, but then within the state of Ohio, it can only go into other quarantine counties. And so they started 5 years ago, Greg, trying to do the cut down program where if that was still in effect, every tree within a quarter of a mile, every ash tree within a quarter of a mile of this site would have been cut. And so they found that that was taking too much of the resources, costing too much. And so last year, the Ohio Department of Agriculture abandoned that program. And the problem with that, I think, is that somewhat people got information there 2-3 years ago that some government agency was going to come in and cut down their ash trees. The ephemeral ash borer was found. And so we've got a little bit of a de-education job to do, I believe, because people are going to now think that when their tree is showing some kind of symptom, they'll want the commissioners or they'll want somebody to come in and cut down their tree. And so that's one of the reasons we wanted to make sure that we came and told you today. I'm going to let Don Eberwein, my horticulture program assistant, answer that question for you, what the symptoms are. He's been doing this job for me for 12 years now. You know, he was the former adult education coordinator at D. Russell Lee, former vocational agriculture teacher, and been my part-time 19-hour-a-week program assistant. I can't get my breath here. Program assistant in horticulture, and he's been the one that's been answering these questions every day.
I've provided each of you with a check-off list, which is for the emerald ash borer. The pictures, are self-explanatory. The larva is what does the damage. It gets underneath the bark and serpentine galleries, and then it cuts off the flow from the roots up to the top of the tree. That's why you see in the one picture there the top of the tree being dead. The top third is a very, of course, that's an advanced stage, but after 2 years, but all those diagnostics there are indicative of the damage that it does to the tree, and of course eventually leads to its death. Also gave to you a map of the state of Ohio with all the counties that are on quarantine. Butler is not added to that because I just took it off the internet this morning, but it'll be on there starting today. There are some
treatments. It does kind of follow highways, doesn't it?
Very much so. Very much so. The
71 and
we've 71. Evolved over the course of time in terms of how is it moving around in the state. It can only fly maybe a quarter of a mile, so therefore it has to have help getting around. So, you know, following the interstates, it looks like.
Is there a seasonal migration?
Yes, the adult flies from approximately May through first part of July area is when the adult is flying. The adult, I don't know if I have a picture of that there or not, but it's only about an eighth of an inch wide and a half an inch long. And it's a real dark emerald color. So it's a real small insect, actually.
And there's no pesticide there?
Well, there is. There is. The efficacy of it is remains to be known, but nothing is 100% effective. The there's a product that contains merit that can be, say, up to 95% effective. The best time to put it on it would be probably mid-April to mid-May when the tree sap is coming up and you drench around the roots of the tree.
Would we be doing that, you say, on Vista Drive, where the first evidence I mean, there could be others in Butler County, right, that we just don't know about yet. But around that area, have we identified ever other ash trees to say, you know, here's something that you could do to maybe slow down the process?
Well, yeah, you could. The factor of economics is going to enter into it. The material that's out there right now, I believe, is about $80 a gallon, and you use an ounce of that per inch of circumference of the tree. So unless the tree really has special meaning to you and something you'd really want to protect, I would say a lot of people couldn't afford it or couldn't actually do it. You know, if you had a woods or a lot of trees, it would almost be unbearable cost to save it.
I talked to Amy Stone, one of our boar specialists, on Friday afternoon. She was the one to call and let me know that happened. And she's suggesting that people in the Monroe area not treat until September, because you, with the moisture shortage we've got right now, you need to have some moisture flowing into the system of the tree. It is a systemic, and so the water has to take it up. So if you drench now, you'd be basically probably wasting your money. You want to wait and do it in September. And then again, do it next April, is what she's suggesting. And as Don has said, you know, if you got two or three trees in the backyard you want to treat, that's fine. But if you got a woodlot full of ash trees, and it's not something where you treat this April and you're done, once you start treating that tree, you'll treat it as long as you want it to live. And then, as Don said too, it's not 100% foolproof. You could spend $25-$30 on it a year, and say that would be what you would spend on a 25-30 inch circumference tree. Do that every year for the next, you know, 30 years. You got a lot of money in it, and it may die anyway. But I've got an ash tree in my backyard that my daughter brought home in the sixth grade, and we planted it, and so I'm going to treat that tree because it's got sentimental value. But the other thing that people need to understand is we have a lot of clear-winged boars that are native to Ohio that are attracted to...
That's good ones and bad ones?
Well, no, they're bad, too.
They're bad.
They are attracted to trees that are stressed already. And we have had a lot of ash trees dying already before this boar has come into Butler County. And so people are going to get confused by whether it is a native boar or MO ash boar. And the way that you tell the difference is from the diagnostic on those pictures. The whole of our native clear wing boar is round or oval. And the exit hole of the Asian boar is D-shaped because the abdomen shape, or the shape of the actual adult as it comes out. So there's a difference in the color. And you're going to see a lot more woodpecker activity with the emerald ash borer because there's so many of them in there when it comes there. The other thing is, we would recommend if people are going to try to start saving their trees that they start next spring at the very latest, because the borer can be in a tree 3 to 5 years before there's ever any evidence that you can see. So the other thing we're concerned about is that it's going to cost government a lot of money over time, because, you know, you got parks and that sort of thing that's going to have to be, trees are going to have to be taken down. And, of course, cities are going to be spending a lot of money on their parks. And the other thing we're concerned about is people coming around and encouraging people to treat their trees, you know, maybe when they can't afford to do it. Maybe telling them they just need to cut all their ash trees down, coming in and charging them $1,000 or whatever to cut down a tree. So there's a lot of potential for shysterism here, if you want to call it that. So we're very concerned about that too.
Steve, once the emerald borash has gone through an area, can you then go back and replant ash trees?
It would be possible to do that, but if there's still larvae around,
yeah,
you know, they're going to reinfest. And
sure.
So we have been really recommending for the last 3 years that people not plant ash trees, because we knew that this was going to come around and be a potential of a problem.
But Canada, are they starting to replant ash trees now since it's gone?
I don't think it's been long enough yet.
Oh, okay.
It's a matter that they don't just go through like in a wave,
okay,
and then leave. They, you know, they're still around. It takes a long time to get all those trees killed out. I suppose after let's say 30 years or something, and you know there's no larva left, it's not probable that there's any insects left, that yeah, you could go in and replant, but we probably have to import them from China like we do everything else. So yeah.
There actually, Steve mentioned that there is research going on in terms of a good guy insect that would be a predator on the emerald ash borer, but that's not reached the stage of implementation yet. So we don't want to introduce another bad guy that we don't know what his character is like. You know, like the Asian multicolored ladybug that we had, that's kind of a nuisance in the fall of the year. We didn't realize they like to come in buildings like the other ladybugs don't, but they do. So introduce one guy to take care of a problem and create another problem. So got to be extremely careful on that.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it. I want to introduce to you Callie Wells. Callie is Dick and Beverly Wells' daughter, Jim Wells' granddaughter, if you know Jim Wells. She is at Ohio State University, going to be a junior next year, and she's doing a 10-day summer intern program with us this summer. Also working at the animal shelter in Trenton, besides we're doing this. So I wanted to introduce her to you. She's a fine young lady. And we want you to know that we are going to be putting on educational seminars. We have. Don's already done one at Fairfield, done one at Hamilton, done one at Middletown on emerald ash borer. And we also want to let you know if there's any way we can help you guys. If you want to have some meetings, we'll be happy to come out and resource them for you and do whatever we can do to let the citizens of Butler County know that this is a problem and we need to
I think educate. That the what I would suggest, and it's up to you, is to contact either one of the community cable companies and see if they would be willing to tape a half hour or 15-minute segment with
you.
That'd
be great.
And then be able to play that on all the community access channels, and we can publicize when those are going to be shown so people can
That'd be a great idea. We got a wonderful PowerPoint presentation, so it wouldn't be just talking heads. We can throw that up
and
on that.
So we could also put it on our website.
Very good.
They could, you know, as a link to
sure.
Watch this video.
That'd be great. We'll do that. So. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Also, I'd like to add one thing. The tree boards, there is a tree board in Hamilton, also a tree board in Middletown and Fairfield as well. They've already, you know, are aware of the problem and have taken steps to replace ash trees, street ash trees, between the street and the sidewalk, which they have jurisdiction over the next, say, 5 years that they're developing a plan on that. But recently, Oxford indicated it would be a drain on their budget to try to even approach that, but I forget the figure they used, but I think it was $240,000 it would take to replace the ash trees. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Anybody else have anything for us? Second.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Calvet?
Yes.
Thank you.